Hi, folks. Bob Main here, and you are listening to another episode of the Handgun World Show. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. I believe the Second Amendment makes all of the other amendments possible. And you've tuned into a practical show. I am not ex-law enforcement or ex-military. I'm not a gunsmith or even a firearms trainer. I'm just a regular guy. And my passion and hobby happens to be firearms. And so I talk to you about the practical owning and shooting of primarily handguns from an everyday guy's point of view. So thanks again for downloading, and let's get started with the show.
This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com, podcasting freedom.
Welcome to episode number 87. Did you know that a gun nut's definition of diversity is measured on caliber instead of ethnic background? All right, I want to talk about revolvers today. It's been a long time since I promised that I would do a show on revolvers, and some listeners have been requesting that I do this. Finally, I got a chance to go to the range and rent a couple of revolvers. My shooting buddy and I, James Kimmerly, went down there, rented a couple of revolvers. When I get to that part about the interview, I'll play it for you, and you'll hear some of our thoughts on what actually happened while we were at the range. But before I get into that and cover a news story and some of my initial thoughts about revolvers, I want to ask you all a question listening to this show. Don't you just love the smell of black powder? I mean, it's great, isn't it? You know, it's just gunpowder, black powder, it smells great shooting. You know, I noticed that when we were at the range, you know, sitting in there, and I like the smell. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. Who knows? But maybe you'll agree with me on that. I don't know. So always remember to fight crime by shooting back. Okay, a little bit of news that I want to cover before we get started here. I'm sure you folks heard about the University of Texas shooting last week, where some nutbag went into the University of Texas library and started shooting. Thank God nobody was hurt or killed. That's the good part. He ended up killing himself, and it was a tragedy. It really was. It was a bad tragedy. But there were some things I really didn't like about the reporting. And I'm going to go ahead and dole out some criticism here. The criticism is going to be on Fox News. I want to share a report. I don't know if you read this report. Right after the shooting happened, the same day, here's a statement that was issued by Fox. It says, law enforcement officials believe that a gunman opened fire at the University of Texas campus library and then killed himself. Okay, officials said that a man wearing a ski mask entered the Perry Castaneda Library at the University of Texas about 8 a.m. Tuesday and fired an AK-47 assault rifle before killing himself. Up to 10 shots were fired, witnesses told the Dallas Morning News. Okay, here's what pisses me off about that. First of all, the misreporting going on here. I generally like Fox News, but not the way they reported this. I don't like it. They said he used an AK-47 assault rifle. Now, you guys know how I feel about that word assault. I hate it. I hate that word. It you know what? The word assault, from a civilian standpoint, from a standpoint of the guns that civilians are allowed to own, the words assault and rifle should never be used together. Assault is a verb. I've said this many times. Assault is an action. Assault is not a description of a gun. So, in my opinion, there is no such thing as an assault rifle except for full automatic rifles that the military use. And, you know, me not being a military guy, I may sound a little ignorant on this, but help me out, folks. Isn't assault an action? Isn't that what people do? It's not really a type of a gun. You know, it says that the gunman fired 10 shots. Well, I can tell you something, that it probably was a semi-automatic, AK-style weapon. It was probably an AK clone in semi-automatic form. If he only fired 10 rounds, chances are very good it was not a full auto weapon. I hate that misreporting. It just bothers me. When are these numbskulls going to realize that this is what happens in gun-free zones? See, the University of Texas, it's a university campus, major university, it's a gun-free zone. What is it going to take? I'm just wondering, how many times is something like this going to happen before the idiots in our government realize that gun-free zones is not the answer? That's where these things are now happening. Time after time after time again, they're happening in gun-free zones. These students were in a lot of danger, folks. That it's ridiculous. You know, last week, there was no reason for those students to be in danger like that without the ability to fight back. All right. I got to be careful here not to get off on a tangent that I might regret going into. So, let me cover a few announcements real quick, get that out of the way, and then go into the subject of revolvers. First of all, the first announcement, handgunworld.com is the website. Please be sure to check that out. I did some updating to it. You'll also find links to things that I talk about in the show notes be underneath each show posting. Please remember to check out my YouTube channel. Just search Handgun World Show on YouTube, and also check out my Handgun World Show Facebook page. I try to get on that at least once a day and read the posts and so forth. You can go ahead and send me friend requests. I'll accept your friend request on that. You know, I'll probably check out your profile and check you out a little bit before I do that. I don't approve everybody, but if it looks like you want to get on there and contribute some positive stuff about firearms, that's fine. So, and then don't forget to follow me on Twitter as well if you want to check out some of the things I put on there. Go to handgunworld.com. You'll see a Twitter badge there on the front page. And last but certainly not least, if you get some value out of this show, I'm doing about 4 shows a month now, one a week. If each show is worth a buck or two, consider sending in a donation, $5, $10, whatever. Go to handgunworld.com. There's a buy now button. I'm using Google Checkout. It's working a lot better than PayPal. I don't want to get off on a tangent about PayPal either, but it's working great. You do have to have a Google Checkout account. It's a piece of cake to set up any major credit card, so go for it. That would be much appreciated. However, these shows are free, and they'll always be free. All right, that's it. I don't like to make this show real commercial, so let's get into revolvers. Okay, a few things before we get into revolvers that I want to remind you, though. There are now 6 gun dealers for every 5 gas stations in the United States. Now, what that means is that on any given night, there's at least one crook driving around on empty with a loaded gun. Now, I'm all for gun control, because if you can't control your gun, you can't hit anything. And, you know, the gun laws in Florida, let's talk a little bit about Florida for a minute before I get into revolvers. They got some weird, strange gun laws in Florida. When you enter the state, they search your car. And if you don't have a firearm, they give you one. So, make sure you got your guns with you when you go to Florida. And in the immortal words of my old grandpa, he once said to me, Sonny, he used to call me Sonny, there comes a time in every man's life when he stops busting knuckles and he starts busting caps. And usually, it's when he becomes too old to take an ass whooping. So with that said, okay, maybe my career as a comedian is not too promising. I don't know. Revolvers. Wonderful guns. They really are. And there's a couple things that I want to say, though. My opinion comes out once in a while. I know I like to say that, but it does. And you take it for what it's worth. It's free. It's an opinion. But here goes. First of all, a lot of people talk about the simplicity of a revolver, and they are simple. There's no conception of, or there's no question about that. But there is a misconception that every time you pull the trigger on a revolver, that it's going to fire. A lot of people say, "Well, you know what? All you got to do is just pull the trigger, and if you hear the click, just pull the trigger again, and it's going to fire." Yeah, I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I think I might slightly disagree with that. You know, there's a lot of people who carry a revolver in their pants pocket or their coat pocket, and sometimes they carry it without a holster. A lot of people do that. You know, don't carry a revolver without a holster, in my opinion. People do it because it's got a long double-action trigger pull, and they think, well, it's a safe gun to carry inside of a pocket without a holster. You can get lint or coins or some other object that could wedge itself in between the firing pin and the cylinder and prevent the gun from firing. So you could still be pulling the trigger, click, 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 and nothing's happened because there's something that's obstructing the firing pin. It's wedged in between. You know, I mean, think about it. It never fails. Murphy's Law. You stick the gun in your pocket, you got a dime in your pocket or something like that, or you got a bunch of lint or you got a bunch of debris in your pocket, and that's going to screw the gun up, folks. It will. I don't care how bulletproof and reliable you think your revolver is, it's going to screw it up. Now, I've also heard people say, well, you know, the good thing about a revolver is that you can fire it while it's in your pocket. If you have it in a coat pocket, you know, just point it towards the bad guy and pull the trigger if he's close to you. Yeah, you could do that, where it might be a little bit more difficult to do that with a semi-automatic, but here's the negative of that. Your clothes could catch on fire. Okay, is that better than being attacked by a bad guy? Yeah, maybe so, maybe it is. But just, you know, something to think about. And if you drop your gun, let's talk about what happens if you're concealed carrying a revolver and you drop it. Let's say it gets knocked out of your hands and it falls in the mud or sand or snow or something like that. One of the problems I think you'd have with a revolver is, if you think about the construction of a revolver, how it's made in such a way that it's usually very open. What I mean is you got a space between the cylinder and the barrel, and you got a space between the cylinder and the firing pin on the other side of the cylinder. So it could be fairly easy for those areas to also get obstructed if it's in mud, snow, sand, whatever, and that could render the whole gun inoperable. Or it might only fire once. So again, there's that myth that, oh, they just fire every time you pull the trigger. You know, a revolver is a mechanical device. I think they can be prone to malfunctioning. Do I think that it's more reliable or less prone to malfunctions than a semi-auto? It depends on which semi-automatic you're talking about. You know, technology's pretty good these days, folks. I mean, it's hard to argue with XDs, M&Ps, and Glocks and so forth that just demonstrate a lot of good reliability. So, okay, maybe I'll give a slight edge to revolvers in the reliability category, but just some things to think about. Any gun can malfunction. Any firearm. Now, some thoughts about capacity, and you're going to hear me and James talk a little bit about capacity after our range test, coming up shortly. Some people out there say, well, 5 or 6 rounds should be enough. And I've even talked about the 3-3-3 rule on this show, that self-defense encounters sometimes are over in 3 shots, 3 seconds, within 3 yards. I'm starting to rethink that, I got to be honest with you. You know, what if you have multiple threats? I mean, think about it. The average hit ratio is what, 20, 25%? So if you have 5 or 6 rounds in your gun, if you're carrying a revolver, you got 5 or 6 rounds, and your hit ratio is 20, 25%, that means you're only going to land 1 or 2 rounds. Now, which of those rounds is going to stop the threat? Would you rather land 1 or 2 rounds, or would you rather carry something that has 16 rounds in it, and if you got a 20% hit ratio, you're hitting with 3, 4, maybe even 5 rounds? Okay, all handguns suck anyway, folks. They suck when it comes to penetration. I've talked about that before. Compared to a rifle, compared to a shotgun, stopping power, they suck. So why not have as many rounds on board as you can? You know, I've often heard it say that people can still live anywhere from, you know, 14 to 55 seconds after you shoot them. They've still got that much life in them, even if you do inflict a fatal wound. So that smaller capacity just is a little uncomfortable to me. You know, I've always said that a gun should not be comfortable, it just needs to be comforting. You know, can you reload under a life-threatening situation? Revolvers generally take longer to reload. Now, some people who are very well practiced can reload a revolver real quick, but I've been on a lot of IDPA shoots, folks. I've been out at the range a lot, and I've yet to see somebody that can consistently load a revolver as fast as they can reload a semi-automatic. And even if you can reload a revolver as fast as you can reload a semi-automatic, guess what? When you reload your revolver, you're still only putting another 6 rounds in there versus putting another 14, 15, or 16 rounds into a semi-automatic. Think about that. Revolvers are good tools. They have pros and they have cons, just like any other gun. You know, can you get that thing reloaded effectively under a life-threatening situation? Fine motor skills are going out the window. A gun is a sacrifice. Any kind of a gun that you carry, there's going to be some sacrifice to it. There are some sacrifices you make when you carry a revolver. There's also some very good parts. You know, some of the good things about revolver is, for those of you who like to pocket carry, I have to admit that some of the tiny revolvers out there, some of the real small ones, like some of the Airweight Smith & Wessons out there, they don't print as much. Because of the shape of the gun, when you're carrying it in your pocket, it doesn't print as much. Get a good DeSantis Nemesis holster for it, or a good custom-made leather pocket holster for it, and they just seem to fit in pockets. The rounded shape of a revolver seems to fit better in a pocket. Just that, you know, that's something to consider. That's some of the good things about them. Another good thing about revolvers is, yes, mechanically they are simple. Somebody who's a new shooters typically can learn to operate a revolver very easily, sometimes even more easily than a semi-automatic. They're at times a lot less confusing than a semi-automatic. So I'll concede that point to revolvers. And something else, you know, for female shooters. Some female shooters, depending on their hand strength, wrist strength, forearm strength, some of them can't rack the slide on a semi-automatic gun, especially if it's one that's got a real stiff recoil spring. Obviously, that's not an issue with a revolver. Anybody can pop open the cylinder of a revolver, load it, and close the cylinder and put it away. And obviously, to shoot that thing, you don't have to be racking a slide. So for young people or females that have a hard time working the action on a semi-automatic, then probably a revolver could be good in that case. Now, another thing on the downside that I almost forgot to mention, revolvers tend to be a little bit heavier than most of their semi-automatic counterparts. With some rare exceptions, but you know, when you start getting into the scandium frame Smith & Wesson revolvers, now they're expensive. See, now you're paying the price. You're paying the same price for the super fancy, strange sounding metal type revolvers, you know, with the strange name, scandiums or whatever it is that they call them. Now you're starting to get the same cost as a semi-automatic. So I'm starting to think to myself, well, what's the point? If I'm going to pay that much, why not just get something stone cold reliable that's a semi-auto that hopefully is going to carry more rounds or just as many rounds? So that's you know, something to consider there too. Now, let me talk about cleaning the gun. This is where revolvers, I think, have a big edge right there, is because you don't have to take them apart to clean them. It's a piece of cake. I mean, just pop open the cylinder, clean it out, clean out the barrel, close the cylinder, and reload the thing, and you're ready to go again. I mean, you know, follow the proper cleaning procedures and lubrication and making sure that you're cleaning out the barrel properly, just like you clean out the barrel. You know, run your wet patches full of bore solvent in there and run a brush through there, loosen it up, so on and so forth. Do the same thing in the cylinders. But you don't have to field strip it. You don't have to pop out a recoil guide rod and a recoil spring and so forth, and then worry about putting it all back together and, oh, did I get it back right? And, you know, especially if you take apart a 1911. You know, sit down and take apart a 1911 and then clean that and then clean a revolver. And you tell me which one's easier. So for people, and James and I do talk a little bit about this in our interview from the gun range, which you're going to hear in a few minutes. From a maintenance standpoint, if someone is not real inclined to keep their gun well maintained, then I would say a revolver is probably an excellent choice for someone like that. Okay, and another good positive about revolvers is they're kind of a symbol of history. You know, it kind of reminds me, some of the revolvers out there remind me of the Old West. You know, the old cowboys, the cowboy action revolvers and the single action revolvers and so forth. And you know, Have any of you ever seen a cowboy action shooting match? I mean, they're cool. They're fun. I've seen a couple of those. It's somewhat tempting to do that. You know, the guys are out there with their cowboy action revolvers and their lever action rifles and so forth and their old cowboy shotguns. So there's a cool factor about revolvers that make them appealing to a lot of people, especially the older style nickel-plated revolvers and so forth. And, you know, there's some good collectibles out there. There's probably more collectible-type revolvers than there are collectible-type semi-automatics because they've been around so long. And some of them out there are works of art. I mean, there's some really good, you know, looking cool looking revolvers out there. So if you're into that sort of thing, that's great. To me, I don't care much about looks of a gun. I really don't. To me, a gun is a tool, folks. It's a tool that's going to save my life. That's just me. It's just my opinion. I know you might be different and so forth, which is why I wanted to cover this. But for me, I'm just going to pull the thing out to save my life. I just want it to work. You know, Glocks are some of the most ugly firearms I've ever seen in my life. They're hideous. I mean, you know, my Glock, I got to drink a six-pack before my Glock starts to even remotely look good. But I don't care. If it saves my life and I can fight off one or numerous attackers with it, then I think when I'm sitting in my living room watching TV and talking about surviving that encounter with a bad guy, then my Glock might look a little bit better at that point. So just a thought. But if you are into the looks and everything, then consider some really cool older style revolvers. So with that said, that's kind of my initial thoughts. So let's take a quick 15-second musical break. The next thing that you're going to hear, after you hear a little bit of music and a commercial for the Gun Rights Radio Network Forum. By the way, folks, comment on my podcasts. I forgot to mention that in the announcements. I love comments. Constructive comments are good. Constructive criticism, I don't mind. Good, bad, or indifferent. You know, I like to hear from you. You're the listener. You're what's most important to me, and I've heard from a lot of you already. You guys have been sending me lots of private emails, all the comments on the Gun Rights Radio Network Forum. If you're not a member of the forum, get on there and join. So after the commercial, you'll hear James and I talking outside of the shooting range in Fort Worth that we went to after we did our revolver review, and then I'll be back on for a brief recap after that. Here you go.
An Australian law enforcement officer called their gun registration, quote, an elaborate system of arithmetic with no tangible aim. They also called its crime control use a fallacy. New Zealand police call their gun registration system useless. Canadian registration has cost 1,600% more than originally projected, and a top Canadian cop said it does nothing to take one illegal gun off the street. And in Germany, some people estimate that upwards of 80% of all guns there are still not registered. So why do some senators, and some presidents for that matter, think that it will work in America? Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
All right, it's Tuesday, 28th of September. Now, you guys are going to be listening to this long after we're recording this, but I'm here with James, and we're at the shooting range again. We just finished up doing revolver tests. Now, we've been promising for quite a while, for a few weeks, just took us a while to put this together, but we've been promising that we were going to rent a couple of revolvers and do a review. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's start with the Ruger LCR. First, we rented the LCR. I shot first, shot 10 rounds through it. Now, I'm not a big revolver guy, and I got to say I don't have a whole lot of practice with revolvers, so first five rounds, I was everywhere. You know, the long double action trigger took a long time for me to get used to. I got to say, the recoil is pretty stout. We loaded it with 38 special range ammo. That was it. Just basically 38 special range ammo. That polymer frame of the LCR for me,
I didn't care for it. I got to be straight up. I don't like to beat around the bush. I didn't care for the gun. It gets good reviews out there. When I shot it, I thought it was just so-so. What about you?
Well, you know, I haven't shot a lot of revolvers either, but, you know, it didn't bother me terribly, but it did. What we found out later, it had a lot of recoil, and, you know, especially when you try to shoot one-handed or with your weak hand.
With your weak hand.
It really, you really feel that recoil then.
And see, that's the problem I had, is freestyle I was okay. Strong hand only, it was all right. When I started getting used to it, when I settled down, got used to the trigger, when I put that sucker in my weak hand, I didn't care for it. And, you know, that's what I think about when I review a gun. You know, I think about, what if I have to pull this thing and for some reason my strong arm is not available? You think about that?
Yeah, and that gun itself, I mean, you can a lot of times look at guns and kind of feel them, and you can kind of tell how they're going to perform in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And like that one, you can tell, you pick it up, it's really light.
Yeah.
It's small. Most likely you're going to have a lot of recoil from something like that, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't have any weight to balance it out and to take that recoil for you.
That makes sense. I personally think that that's a negative. Having that much recoil, I mean, man, I tell you what, it was an accurate gun. It was an accurate gun if I did my part and if I, you know, pressed the trigger like I was supposed to be, nice, smooth trigger press. It's an accurate gun, but here's my thought, okay? I always think about this from the standpoint of, what if I have to use this thing? And if somebody is not a real experienced shooter, I'll tell you what, I like the semi-automatics better. How about you?
Well, for one, yeah, the capacity itself, and that gun, we both, I think, saw a little problems with the extraction with pushing the rounds out.
Yeah.
A lot of times they wouldn't come out cleanly. You know, you'd have to shake it and kind of work the lever and try to get them out of there, which can cause you some problems. If you're talking about you're ever going to reload with a revolver,
yeah.
If you need more than the five rounds that thing holds,
hopefully you won't.
That's causing you a snag right there and slowing you down if you ever decide to do that.
Yeah. Now, the 3-3-3 rule suggests you don't need that, but you know,
exactly.
If you do... What about you? What did you think of the shootability of that LCR?
I mean, I thought it shot fine. The sights, I didn't really care for the sights and the way that they were hard to line. They're small and they were flat, and it was just hard to line up quickly. I mean, you could do it, but it was accurate, but you couldn't do it really quickly.
Yeah, it was hard to get that quick sight picture.
Yeah, and with the heavy recoil, and then trying to bring it back in and get that sight put back on target, I didn't care for it a whole lot.
See, follow-up shots I would think would be a problem with that, don't you?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And I don't, overall, honestly, I didn't care for that gun a whole lot. I didn't.
Yeah. Now, from a carry standpoint, let's talk about the positives of it. From a carry standpoint, it's nice and light and compact and relatively small. That would be very good, easy gun to conceal. But, you know, I think it's just as easy to conceal something like your Beretta PX4 subcompact, a subcompact XD, a subcompact Glock, a car PM9. I think it's just as easy to conceal those as it would be that revolver, don't you?
No, well, it would, but in the same sense, if you're going to conceal something and it's about the same, I'd rather go with something that holds 13, 14 rounds.
13 or 14 rounds.
Five.
Yeah. Now, I got to say, here's the positives. It's lightweight, compact, easy. It is accurate. Seems like it's durable.
It's low maintenance.
Don't
have to worry about magazines and magazine springs.
You don't have to worry about
magazines.
That's a good point.
That thing sit for 10 years and you can pick it up and fire it just the same as it was day one. You won't have any malfunctions.
As long as your ammo's good.
Yeah, as long as the ammo's still good.
And that is good. You know, if you're gonna buy a gun and stow it away for years and just have it strictly for emergency purposes, yeah, you could stick that revolver in a drawer or a safe for 15 years, pull it out, and fire it.
Well, and I know a lot of people that carry that don't switch out their magazines. They don't, you know, rotate magazines to keep those springs good or
not
replace
good.
Magazines after a while. You know, they just stick it in a safe and that's just, you know, take it out to shoot it, put it back in the safe and they keep the same magazines pretty much in it all the time.
Which I'm not a big advocate of just taking your carry gun and sticking it in a safe and never using it.
But. No. Or even, you know, if they carry, like I said, but they don't rotate them and eventually that spring's going to wear out and it's going to cause you a problem. But most people don't, for some reason, a lot of people don't worry too much about that kind of stuff. Like they... you know, a lot of people aren't as conscientious about keeping their stuff up as they should.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and if that's you, if you're not conscientious about maintaining your firearms, then I guess a little revolver like an LCR or like a little lightweight Smith & Wesson revolver, that
Airweight.
Might be for you. Airweight revolver, yeah. Okay, so then after that, we shot a big Smith & Wesson 686. Now, that thing was, the difference is night and day. Of course, first of all, for people who are not familiar with the Smith & Wesson 686, it's a monster. I mean, it's not really a concealed carry gun. I'm sure there's probably people that have concealed it and tried to conceal it, but I would not want to carry that thing around. It's a big, heavy gun, but it was fun to shoot, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, and it's built for a 357 mag, so it's a big, you know, big, heavy barrel.
Accurate, extremely accurate.
It felt like you're lifting a refrigerator to put it up in front of you, but it was wonderful to shoot.
It might be a little bit more like a microwave, but still.
After holding that little one, though, switching over to that,
yeah,
it was noticeably, I mean, just bulky and heavy.
Yeah, but what a sweet shooter.
But when you put it on target and you started firing it, it was nice. It was a little bigger. Now, again, my hands are not as big as yours. It was a little longer reach for me for that trigger. And
yeah.
So it was a little harder to pull in that double action, but and when I switched to the single action, I mean, it was just awesome. You touch that trigger and it'll go
off. The single action pull on that Smith & Wesson 686, the big revolver, man, that thing was just sweet. That was sweet. I mean, you and I were both putting it in four or five shots in one inch hole.
Yeah.
And we were all of our shooting today was at about 7 yards. But no question the accuracy of that Smith & Wesson 686. No question.
Far better. And then also, the thing was, we were going from this little teeny gun up to this thing, and the noticeability in the recoil was just
there was no recoil amazing. On that 686.
It felt like I was shooting a little 380. You know, it was ding, 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 you know, no recoil at all.
So, you know, from a home defense standpoint, I would say something like a big, heavy revolver. That would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You could put 357 Magnums in that and probably handle it just fine.
Oh, exactly. And you don't have to carry it around all day. So
it
would be hard to conceal that thing and hard to carry it anywhere.
There is no way I would consistently carry and conceal a big gun like that. I mean, if I was a police officer and it was a duty gun, you know, which not many cops use that as a duty gun anymore, but back when those were the duty guns, that's a different story.
You need a belt and a pair of suspenders for that.
That's right. You need belt. The sights were great on it. Sights were fantastic.
Sights were big and easy to pick up again for follow-up shots.
So yeah, the follow-up shots on that were great. Yeah, the single action. Now, for people not familiar, you can shoot that 686 double action only, or you can shoot it single action. You're going to have to manually cock the hammer back when you shoot it single action.
And I think you can tell in the two guns, it's obvious. One was built for concealment, and one was built for shooting. Because that... You know, the little one, you could conceal it. It didn't shoot as well. It wasn't as great of a, you know, shooting gun. It wasn't as nice in that way. But the other one, there's no way to conceal it. But it was beautiful.
Great home defense gun, the 686. Now, here's something I want to get your take on, James. You know, I look at guns from the standpoint of training with them. Would you want to go to a two-day pistol class, or would you want to shoot an eight-stage IDPA match with that little Ruger LCR?
I don't know if I'd want to take either one of them through that, but one of them would wear you out from being so
I'd
heavy.
I'd shoot the 686, though.
But that would wear you out from carrying it around so long, being so heavy. I'd take that to an IDPA match. But
Which one?
The 686.
The 686,
But to go through you know, 2 or 3 day course with it, you might be wearing yourself out just pulling that thing out of the holster. But
well, yeah, but I tell you what, once you get it out, I wouldn't mind using the 686 if I were to go through a 2 day, you know, 700 or 800 round course. You know, the reloading would get kind of bothersome after a while, but
you might get a little more recoil if you put, you know, 357 Magnums in there or something. I mean, if you were going through a course like that where you're having to buy that much ammo, you'd probably use 38 specials in it anyway.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, a lot of people buy these little tiny guns. And there was recently a thread I think I started the thread, or somebody started the thread on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum. I think it was after I did the Carry the Big Gun episode. Mm-hmm. And the whole point that I'm trying to make here, where I'm going with this, is think about what you carry and think about training with what you carry. If you were carrying that Ruger LCR, would you want to train with it?
Well, of course.
But, I mean, no, how would you feel about training with it?
Well, I might not enjoy the training, so, but...
You think you'd get much out of the training?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because it's...
Where I'm going with this is, would you rather train with that or your Beretta subcompact?
Well, my Beretta. But that's what I was getting at, is that obviously you have to train with it, but it just wouldn't be... I mean, you wouldn't enjoy training with it, so you probably would end up not training as much.
That's my point.
Because...
That's my point.
I mean, it comes back... For me, it comes back to the capacity.
Yeah.
And you got 5 rounds in there, and you're going to be... It's just like bringing your little 380 out here and training it. It's not as... You spend most of your time loading, and you get to shoot for a couple seconds, then you're back to loading again. And it's just... I mean, that seems monotonous for me, and I like to throw 13, 14 rounds in there and start shooting.
Now, you know what? That little LCR, in all fairness, that Ruger LCR, wouldn't be bad to shoot a backup gun IDPA match with, because the stages aren't more than 5 rounds anyway.
Yeah, no, that'd be good for that.
But still, that thing's punishing.
Yeah.
You know, I found out, I only shot 25 rounds through it, and you only shot 25 rounds through it. It was punishing, even after 25 rounds. You know, I mean, I wasn't hurting. It just was unpleasant. And guns that are unpleasant to shoot, I think 99% of the people are not going to train with it.
No, and I think a lot of times, if you bought that as your first gun to carry...
And a lot of people do buy that as their first gun.
Practice with it a few times, and... I think a lot of people would end up trading up to something else. That's probably not a permanent carry gun either. I don't know. I like shooting revolvers. Apparently they're pretty fun, but I wouldn't want to carry one.
I really enjoyed
myself.
That Smith & Wesson 686.
I did too. I liked
you know,
it. That'd
be
that
a great gun
to
own. You know, it'd be a great hunting gun because you can get 357 Magnum loads that are really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good, if you're into handgun hunting, or even if you just want a backup gun when you're hunting out in the field, that would be fantastic. And a great home defense gun. I think there'd be no question about the validity of that gun as a home defense gun. I really enjoyed shooting that. But I got to say, in all honesty, the Ruger LCR didn't impress me.
No, and that 686, that, like you said, that'd be a gun I'd love to own.
Yeah.
But I know I would never carry it. I wouldn't do anything but take it to the range and... have it sitting at home and, in my safe ready to for home defense, but that's about it.
With some Buffalo Bore 357 Magnum powerful rounds in that thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so overall, what did you think of our revolver experiment? What do you take away from this?
I may actually end up eventually owning one.
Which one? Which one do you think?
Well, if I was going to buy one of these two, it'd be the 686.
Yeah.
But if I do buy one someday, I'm not going to be looking for a concealed carry weapon anyway.
Right.
So, I'd like to get something kind of big like that. Because it was great. It was fun to shoot. And, something you could that could serve some other purposes. Like you said, you do some hunting with it or something like that.
I would think a big revolver like that, a big 357 Magnum revolver, it's a good all-purpose gun.
And it's for home defense. I mean, it's better than my Beretta for a home defense gun. So,
sure.
Keep it for that. Nothing wrong with having a different gun for a home defense than what you carry. So.
Nothing wrong with having lots of guns, that's for sure. if that's your thing.
But I think I would avoid, the smaller revolvers like that because they don't do much for me.
Me either. And
it's mostly drawbacks. There's a couple positives to it, but a lot of it just it doesn't appeal to.
And
me.
I don't want people to think that we're picking on revolvers, because those of you who listen to this, if you're a revolver owner, we're not trying to pick on you. This is just our opinion on it.
In it is, like I said, if you're the type of person, and I know some people, like I said, like that are this way.
Yeah.
If you're not big on doing maintenance on your gun, cleaning it, taking care of it, and all that kind of stuff,
right?
Changing magazines and going and buying new magazine springs, and a revolver's a great gun for you.
And they're stone cold reliable. Oh yeah. I mean, the reliability. I don't think you could really call another gun more reliable than that.
No, and that's why they've been around for a couple hundred years.
And that's coming from someone like me that likes Glocks. And yeah. I rave about their reliability. But the revolver, I would say, is probably the absolutely most reliable you can own.
Well, about the only malfunction you're ever going to have is with ammo. I mean, it's going to be the fault of the ammo.
Unless you got something faulty with the manufacturing of the gun.
Exactly. But, I mean, you got a gun that's been shot and you've had it for years. It's hard to break anything in there. I mean, there's a lot less moving parts than there are in a semi-automatic. So it's definitely, reliability-wise, it's way above, semi-automatics. But
yeah. All right. So and then I saw you also shot your Beretta Storm subcompact. How did you do with that today?
It looked like I haven't shot for a while because I haven't. I haven't been out to shoot for about a month or so because...
use it or lose it.
I haven't had time. I've been busy. I'm going to school and everything else, and I just haven't had time to get out. And I told you that when we went in there, and that's why I wanted to shoot it today, and it looks like I haven't shot it.
Now, we're just at a square range. For everybody listening to this, we're just at a square range. We're just at a square range, and we just stood there, and we were plinking. And we ran the target out to 5 or 7 yards. So we didn't, this isn't... We're not talking about an IDPA review or anything like that. Now, I had another experience that I didn't expect to have that I want to talk about. The guys next to us were shooting one of them was shooting a SIG and one was shooting a Glock. And I got a chance to shoot a Glock 36 for the first time. Single stack 45, I think it's the only single stack Glock makes. I liked the Glock 36. I was surprised that for me, the recoil was not that much more than my Glock 19 with hot loads in it. Now, I was shooting range 45 ammo. He had some 230 grain ball. But I like the fact, the concealability of it, but it's actually about the same size as the Glock 19. The way it shot, I thought was great. It was very good. I mean, it was pretty much like all the other Glocks, and it's nice and thin to conceal. What I didn't like is the limited capacity of it. And I would also say that probably I didn't like the finger extension. It was kind of pinching my pinky quite a bit. But maybe those are just kind of, complaints that maybe I'm just too picky. I don't know. It's just everything I pick up, when I start comparing it to my 9mm semi-autos, they don't seem to compare.
Well, the good thing is right away when you picked it up and started firing it, your first five rounds you fired were right in there.
Oh, I was accurate with it.
He may even made a comment. He's like, oh, you are a Glock guy.
Well, and this is not a Glock commercial. This show, please, it's definitely not. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. Because I liked your Beretta. When I shot your Beretta a few weeks back, that's a nice gun. Your Beretta's awesome. Given the choice, I just recommend, folks, if you can find a good semi-automatic that you can reasonably conceal, that's reliable, I would say go with that. What do you think?
I'd say the same thing. I mean, it's... If like your old saying you always say is that a gun shouldn't be comfortable, it should be comforting,
Right.
Same thing. If you feel comfortable shooting it, if you get a gun, if you pick up a Glock and you go to the range and fire it and you just really don't feel comfortable shooting it, that's not the gun for you. I mean,
yeah.
Same thing with a Beretta or a revolver. Maybe a revolver is the exact gun for you. Maybe that's what feels good in your hand. You shoot it well. Everything's got a give and take to it, too. There's drawbacks to every gun, to every, every format, there's always good and bad and everything. There's no perfect gun.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no perfect gun for everybody, anyway.
Well said.
Could be a perfect gun for a single person, it may not be, nobody else could like it, but one person loves it. Somebody out there has a great thing for high points, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I guess we'll kind of leave that subject alone. But absolutely, I mean, hey, if a gun works for you, I think I said this on one of the other shows, I'm all about what works for you. My personal experience, Bob Main, little tiny lightweight revolvers don't work for me. I am not going to spend my money on one of those. That's just my personal opinion. But if somebody listening to this, if it works for you, by all means, shoot it. As we close, James, what do you take away from this little revolver experience?
The same thing as I said earlier is just I don't like don't care for the smaller revolvers. If I got a revolver, it'd be a bigger one, and I'd probably just use it. Using in my house, in my home defense.
Now, when you get that big revolver, we need to give it a 1,000-round trigger job.
That's right.
Yeah. You need to give it a 1,000-round trigger job and let me shoot about 100 rounds through it.
we can go about 500 each. That'd be fine.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Hello, everybody. This is Igor Borlov, and on behalf of all of the international listeners to Bob Main's Handgun World podcast, I want to thank you for listening to this show on revolvers. I want to let you know that I have for sale a Mosin Nagant Model 1895. Revolver extensively used by the Russian Imperial Army and later by the Soviet Union after the Russian Revolution. If by chance you are interested in this beautiful piece of Russian history, please send me an email and send me a copy of your FFL certificate, and I will send you a perfect example of a Mosin Nagant Model 1895 Russian revolver. And rest assured, it's a very fine piece. Just email me at bolshevik@mosinnagantrevolver.com. That's Bolshevik. @MosinNagantRevolver.com. Once again, this is Igor Borlov on behalf of all the Russian listeners of Bob Main's Handgun World podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the Revolver Show. Goodbye.
All right, once again, that was my good buddy Igor Borlov from the Soviet Union. He wants to sell you a Russian Nagant revolver. If you are interested, once again, that is Bolshevik at MosinNagantRevolver.com. Thank you, Igor. I appreciate that very much for adding that little advertisement into this show. So let me close up by just making a couple of recommendations here. If you are going to go get a revolver for self-defense, for concealed carry purposes, nothing wrong with it at all. I really didn't want this show to come off as being negative towards revolvers. I really hope you didn't take it that way. They're just not for me, but they could be for you. You know me. I like to just throw out the facts, let you decide. You make your own decisions. I just like to kind of give you all sides of the story in the best possible way that I can. Couple of recommendations that I would make if you are going to go ahead and get a revolver. Spend as much as you can. It's like any other gun. As much as you can afford, lay that out there. This is your life you're talking about. How much is your life worth? Think about that. Those little Smith & Wesson Scandium revolvers, if you can shoot them comfortably and you're willing to practice with them, and you can tolerate them, they're very good quality. I would say probably in my experience, the trigger on that Smith & Wesson was far superior than the trigger on the Ruger LCR. That was just my observation. Now, you know, I've heard a lot of people rave about the triggers on the Smith & Wessons. You take it to somebody that can do a really good trigger job as well, and boy, they can make that thing buttery smooth. Good shooters can shoot a good buttery smooth revolver trigger. However, like I always say, give it a 1,000-round trigger job first. Make sure you run 1,000 rounds through that thing. Get to know your revolver. Get to know your gun. You will be a better shot on the 1,000th round than you were on the first round, I promise. So, the 1,000-round trigger job is so important, especially if you're going to carry a small revolver. Now, you might be thinking, oh, Bob, you got to be kidding me. 1,000 rounds with a little bit scandium lightweight revolver? All right. Yeah, if that's kind of what you're thinking, okay. Maybe reduce it to a 500-round trigger job. But again, train. If you're going to carry it, train it. All right, it's getting kind of late at night. I can tell that my mind is starting to wander here. So thanks for tuning in to episode number 87, folks. If you have any questions, comments, if you'd like to chime in, add something to it, please, by all means, go to the forum, start a thread on this, and let's talk about it. With that said, this is Bob Main. You have just listened to another episode of the Handgun World Show. The reason I carry a gun, maybe a revolver? I don't know. Maybe not. It's because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Catch you next time. Have a good one.